Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Kropp Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit KroppMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville, running the three-man show with Jason returning post-Thanksgiving. Joining us right now on the Maps Warehouse Hotline is our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Now, John, I know you probably haven't been to a Washington football team game in a while, but you can get tickets for $4.
Yeah, but I could get in for free if I wanted to go.
Correct.
Big time.
And my question is, if you get in for $4, how much do you have to pay to get out?
That's a very good point.
That might be expensive, but I'm sure you guys saw the poll in the Post today, which is it's a little skewed, you know, asking people what their favorite team in D.C. is right after the
exactly.
Nationals win a World Series, but still, it's more than 2-1 for the Nationals, and there was a time. I mean, again, I got to town before the Nationals existed, when the Capitals and Bullets were just arriving. One is an expansion team, one from Baltimore. But there was a time when the answer to that question would have been like 95% for the football team.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing the work Dan Snyder has done, along with his minion, Bruce Allen.
Yeah. But you do bring up a great point. It's a terrible time, I think, to take that poll if you weren't trying to be objective at all. I mean, why not do it when they were 19-31? Let's see if they
do it mid-season, and you know, do it the All-Star break, you know, when they had clearly recovered and were back in contention. 19-31 is sort of a little unfair on the other end. But right now, of course, everybody, you know, they averaged, I think it was 26,000 fans a game for the season, which made them 16th in Major League Baseball. Not exactly overwhelming, but there were like a zillion people at the parade because everybody literally jumps on bandwagons.
Right.
So, yeah, it definitely skews the poll for sure.
And my argument is, I actually talked to Rick Mace about this week, is that I still think while they have hemorrhaged fans, and no one can deny it, I'm a fan, and I'm actually embarrassed to wear gear. I actually went outside, John, and took my Redskins hat off, put it inside, because I didn't want to I didn't want my buddies to goof on me. I didn't want it to be a topic of conversation. It was embarrassing.
If you were to go out of town somewhere, you know, I travel out of town a lot, and I don't wear gear, but from any pro team, but except the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
I do wear some Islanders gear on occasion, if you were to go out of town and wear that gear, people are going to laugh at you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just becomes a topic of conversation. I don't care to deal with it. I deal with it enough here.
Understandable.
But I do believe if they started – the problem is – one of the big roots of the problem is there's no hope right now. I've never felt this hopeless.
Right.
But if they did find a way miraculously to turn it around and they were some sort of playoff team, I think people would jump back on. Not maybe the way they would.
Of course they would. I mean, look at the Nationals.
Yeah.
The Nationals will draw much better next year as the world champions than they drew this year as simply a team that's been good for 7 straight years, or now 8 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it always works, is people jump on bandwagons. People want to say they were there. You know, there was a time when I first started working at the Post where the place to be in Washington was at RFK Stadium. Right. You know, and you see all those celebrities sitting in the box with Edward Bennett Williams and then with Jack Kent Cooke later. It was the place to be, and people wanted to say, I was there. And clearly that's no longer the case. And the fact that the stadium is located in a terrible place definitely hasn't helped. But if you're going to have a stadium, if you're right, if they were good, people would still find a way to get to the stadium.
Yeah.
It's that simple. People. And you know what else? Let's say Hopkins turns out to be a star. And they do turn it around, and in 2 years they're in the playoffs. People would stop taking shots at Snyder and Allen. They would, because they, well, okay, yeah, they screwed up, but they've learned their lesson now, or something like that.
Do you think they've bottomed out with Bruce? JP thinks he's. I don't necessarily agree with him, but he might not be wrong that they're so bad that even Dan has to look at himself and go, okay, at some point you got to hold somebody accountable.
The attendance is so low, so he goes to the home games and he looks out at the field. Right? Mm-hmm.
They're screaming, sell the team.
Half full at best. They're screaming, sell the team, or they're Chicago Bears fans filling the stadium.
Jets fans filling your stadium.
The Jets fans filling the stadium. That was really embarrassing because the Jets are awful.
Right.
Yeah. They're always awful.
They're going to be 1-15.
So this might, and his JP thinks this is the year.
At some point, you got to pull the plug.
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I will tell you this. I know Snyder doesn't blame himself. Because
right.
People, narcissists like Dan Snyder, do not blame themselves for anything. Somebody else is always at fault. So the question is, does he finally turn and say to Bruce, it's your fault?
Mm-hmm.
Or do he and Bruce together say it's everybody else's fault? Now, that's what it's been for a long time. You know, Bruce with this mythical we're close stuff, and obviously Dan buys that. But you do know, you know, there was a point where there comes a point where if you're not going to point your finger at yourself, you have to find somebody to be the fall guy. Now, it's already been Jay Gruden. Clearly, Bill Callahan's not going to be around. They'll try to make a big name splash with a coach. Maybe they'll go back and try to get Joe Gibbs to come back. But at some point, you wonder if Dan just doesn't say, look, Bruce, you've got to take the fall here. Now, what he might do, which he should have done years ago, is just, you know, say, okay, Bruce, you're the alumni director. You know, give him a title, you know, so that he can save face, and then bring somebody in who knows something about football to run the team.
Right, make him the stadium director, because apparently you can't build a stadium without Bruce Allen as your henchman, according to Dan Snyder.
I mean, there are a lot. It's interesting when Dan Snyder says anything publicly, because remember he used to show up and talk in fits and starts for a while. Tony Wiley, when he first got there as the PR guy, had a campaign where he would have Dan show up to announce he was giving $25,000 to some charity or something, and it would make him available to the media just so the cameras would come and show him giving money to a charity, and then he might answer a question or two about the team. He doesn't even do that anymore. I mean, if you care, you're lucky if you get Bruce talking about the team.
Right.
Joined by John Feinstein, bestselling author, Washington Post columnist, who wrote a book called Quarterback, where I think you interviewed Alex Smith, Andrew Luck, Flacco, Doug Williams. You didn't have anybody, though, that was like Lamar Jackson. Can you believe
nope.
the season that he's putting together? He's going to run right now, I think the estimate is right around 1,300 yards, and throw 30 touchdown passes.
I went and saw him play in person on Sunday because I wanted to see the phenomenon and write a column about it. And, you know, Lamar Jackson does appear in Quarterback because there's actually a funny story in there about draft night, because Flacco was at his house in Baltimore with Dennis Pitta, his old tight end who's a close friend. Pitta was in town to sell his house. Joe was in town for off-season workouts. His family was back home in New Jersey because the kids were in school. And they're watching the draft. And Joe always would go to bed after the Ravens made their first-round pick. And with the 25th pick, they picked the kid Hayden Hurst, the tight end. And Joe says to Pitta, he said, I'm going to go to bed. And Pitta says, come on, it's seven more picks. Just wait till the end of the round. Okay, fine. Kids aren't there. Why not? So, of course, with the 32nd pick, Goodell steps to the microphone and says the Ravens take Lamar Jackson. And they're kind of sitting there looking at each other saying, huh, what does this mean? Phone rings. It's Harbaugh. And Harbaugh says to Flacco, "Hey, Joe, we got you tight end." And Joe says, "John, you're not calling me at midnight to tell me you got me a tight end." And he said that his wife, Dana, asked him the next morning, "What does this mean?" And Joe said, "It means everything has changed." And Joe understood that right away, the same way Alex Smith understood when the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes, that Lamar was probably going to be the backup for a year, and then Joe was going to be traded. And Lamar was the quarterback of the future. Now, it happened sooner because Flacco got hurt. And, you know, I love it when Lamar says pretty good for a running back, which he said again this past Sunday, because all those scouts and all those TV pundits were out there saying, oh, he should become a running back or a wide receiver. And we all know now that he's a pretty damn good quarterback. I mean, unless he stumbles in some way and doesn't play as well these last six games, he's going to be the MVP.
He's the most exciting
and
player.
Considering that four quarterbacks were drafted ahead of him, all white, by the way, that's an amazing story.
Yeah. Well, you're right. If he doesn't stumble, I mean, you look, though, around the league, and Russell Wilson's having an amazing year, too. So
yeah, the other three candidates are Russell Wilson, who's having a great year. Mahomes got hurt, so I think that sort of drops him. And Deshaun Watson was right there until last week when Lamar just so totally outplayed him. But there are guys having great years. But right now, Lamar Jackson is the talk of the league. He is the talk of the league because of those numbers that you cited, because the Ravens are 8-2. They beat the Patriots. They look like they might be the best team in the league. Their defense is good, too. And because at least two or three times a game, he makes a play where you look at the person next to you and go, how in the hell did he do that?
I wanted to read your column about cap, but the link didn't work. I don't understand. At least for me, it didn't. I think
you know I can't help you with that.
Yeah. So, but maybe you can paraphrase sort of your thoughts on it. I know you say you still stand with cap, and look, we all, no matter where you stand on any of this stuff, there's no denying he's been blackballed. That's why they paid him a bunch of money. I mean, that's a given. But I did think the way he handled this situation was a little unusual, and I'm not sure how interested he really is in playing again, to be honest with you.
Well, I think unusual is a fair word. But here's what I believe happened, and this is what I wrote. The NFL set all these conditions when they finally got around to doing this tryout, whatever, workout, whatever you want to call it. Why the settlement was in February. Why wasn't this set up in May or June so that he could show teams what he had or didn't have before training camp? So somebody could say, hey, you know, let's bring him into training camp. Let's give him a look. Whether it's as a starter or a backup somewhere, let's give him a look, get him in a couple exhibition games, and give him a legit chance to make a team or not make a team. So why in week 11 are they suddenly saying, okay, you got 2 hours to tell us if you'll show up Saturday in Atlanta, which is what they did. I don't even know the details of the waiver and what happened one way or the other, so I'll stay away from that. But they wanted the workout held in secret at the Falcons training camp. No media, no public, just the scouts who showed up. Now, what that said is, remember back in 2017, go look it up, there were all these stories written by NFL writers quoting anonymous front office executives as saying, oh, he's not being blackballed, it's just that he's not good enough anymore, or he's not worth the trouble, quote unquote. And how much trouble there would have been back then, I think there would have been a lot of publicity for a week. And then if he could play, that's what people would have been talking about. But, you know, it was, oh, he's really not that good a quarterback anymore. You guys know how bad some of the quarterbacks in the NFL are.
True.
Colin Kaepernick's a guy who took a team to the Super Bowl once upon a time, and he was a starter in 2016 for a bad team, but a starter nevertheless. And they wanted to be in a position where those scouts could come out and anonymously whisper in the ear of these NFL guys who were always willing to take anonymous quotes that, oh, he didn't look that good, he didn't look like he was in shape, whatever. Kaepernick said, no, I want outsiders to see this. I want outsiders to make judgments on how I looked. And I don't think that was wrong of him. You know, the NFL hates transparency. That's their least favorite word in the world. And he said, he set it up at a high school. Only 8 of the 25 guys who were allegedly in town showed up. You know, they go, oh, well, it's so too much trouble to get to, you know, getting an Uber or getting the rent-a-car they're in to drive 45 minutes or whatever it was. And the teams that saw him None of them are going to sign him. That was never going to happen. But you're right. I don't know. You don't know. None of us knows how much Colin Kaepernick wants to play football. Yeah. But I don't think he was wrong to say, I want this to be in public.
Right, right.
All right, John.
Have a great weekend. Thank
Fellas,
you, John.
Are we on after next week after Thanksgiving, or are we
no,
all
I think
off?
We're off, right? We're off. Yeah, we're off.
We're off.
Okay, well, have a great holiday.
We could maybe do it Wednesday, but I'll leave that to
the producer. Let's talk about that. I'll talk about
figure it out.
I'll talk about that, and we can do it Wednesday. That'd be fine.
Cool. Yeah. All right, great. All right, thank
guys,
you, John.
Cheers.
Yep.
Bye.
Yep.
All right, this is John Feinstein brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf. On and off the course, Golfdom, live the game. Coming up next, we shift to movies. Actually, Kevin's joining us at 8:40. I thought he was coming up next.
My bad.
Is he on next or is he on at 8:40?
8:40.
Okay, I don't even want to talk to him about movies. I just want to talk to him about that bungee jump.
It looked terrifying.
Go check him out. What is it? Kevin McCarthy TV or something? Check it out on Instagram. And I think it's on a story. It might even be on his regular profile or whatever. And watch what Kevin does there. I mean, that's insane. I would never do that, Cakes.
I would do it for a certain price.
That kid's got balls, and he didn't even curse.
Pretty amazing.
I was shocked he didn't curse.
I mean, he knew it was televised, or it was going to be used on television.
Well, he had that selfie stick.
Yeah.
You know, he did that selfie stick with his phone, right? He very easily could have lost his phone on that thing.
Sure.
Yeah, Cakes just lost his phone. You get by.
It's traumatic.
Look at this. It's ruining my life. You know how long it takes to send a text on this thing?
Oh, really?
Like 2 hours. It's gross.
All right, so Kevin will join us coming up at 8:40 right here on The Junkie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here's your radio insider, Cakes.
Okay, good.
You want to play the radio insider bit?
I love to.
Radio insider.
Drab sends us a show outline the night before.
Mm-hmm.
On the show outline said Kevin McCarthy, 8:20 a.m.
Right.
On today's show sheet, with kind of the topics, it said 8:20 a.m. But on the sheet, which has all of the reads that we need to do during the show, it said 8:40 a.m.
Radio Insider.
Turns out 8:20 is correct, and Kevin joins us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. We're talking to Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5.
Not the boring politician, the vibrant movie reviewer. Hello, Kevin.
Oh, you've probably been getting so much like hate email lately.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. And by the way, I want to give just one quick thing in defense of Drab. He was the reason probably why that happened was my schedule this week kind of got more insane because I'm in Cabo in Mexico for Jumanji, and I was texting with Drab yesterday like trying to figure out the timing because the time difference here is 2 hours behind and my schedule with Fox 5 is different this week. So in his defense, that was actually something him and I were going back and forth with on last night.
Oh,
so I love Drab. And
you get to hang out with your boy The Rock again, huh?
Yeah, this has been one of the most wild junkets I've had the opportunity to do. And if anybody's been following my social media, I went bungee jumping the other day for the first time.
That was insane, dude. I never would have done that.
So, and Eric, and so you saw it probably on the Instagram. That was a wild thing because basically the camera you were watching, the video you were watching, was me just holding onto a selfie stick while I jumped out of a gondola. It was wild.
Was there water below you?
No, it was rocks.
Oh, my God.
And it was 300 feet from the gondola down to the bottom. And
This is what I found to be the strangest part of this whole situation. They essentially, when you get on this thing, they bring you out to the middle of this canyon, essentially, and then they weigh you. It doesn't matter, like, they weigh you prior to, the first thing they do is weigh you. But when you walk on to the gondola, it's clear floor. So you're basically looking right down at the ground, 300 feet below you. And but the weird part was they weighed everybody prior to the equipment going on, and then depending on your weight, you got a different bungee cord.
Right.
So like two people in my group had one type of bungee cord, I had one, and then two other dudes had a bigger one.
You hope they're doing their math correctly.
Yeah, you better hope those calculations are correct.
Honestly, it's one of those things where I've always wanted to skydive. I just don't think I realized what the moment was going to be when you get to that ledge and nothing is in front of you but air. And it was like this like strange feeling where once the guy says three, if you don't go, he has to throw the cord with you. So you have to be in sync with the guy. And like, you can't go head first. Like, you have to dive out like you're Superman, like and reach towards the air, because you could totally mess up your neck essentially if you fall the wrong way.
So we just retweeted it for people that want to see it. We retweeted it at Chunks Radio.
Hold on, I got a million questions.
No, I want to ask him what happens after. So you're dangling there. Then what happens?
So that's to me, that part was the most insane aspect of it. So basically, once you dive out and you're finished with the recoil, whatever you want to call it, when you flip back up and go back down, you're the one who's responsible for getting yourself back up in a partial way. Partially, I'll tell you why. Remember, at this moment, it's not that extreme. You're basically hanging upside down. So at this point, like, I'm literally, if you watch the video, I'm
They're showing it on delirious NBC Sports Washington right now. Everyone's seeing you jump out of the thing.
I'm genuinely delirious at the point where I'm hanging there, because you're basically all the blood's rushing to your head. And essentially, your head feels like it weighs whatever your body weight is. So I weigh 185 pounds. Everything felt like it was in my head. So what you have to do is lift your head up as you're hanging upside down. And they're feeding you this other cord that you have to somehow catch in midair. You have to catch it while you're hanging there, and then you're responsible for connecting it back to your clip. And then you have to and then they bring you back up with a machine, but you kind of have to go with it to make sure you don't, because you feel like you're.
Aren't you terrified though while you're just dangling there? 250.
Hold on. I remember from the BDK Sports Challenge, he doesn't catch very well. There's no way you caught it the first time.
No, it's funny because it's everything's hanging in midair. So like it's all about where you're located once it finally gets to your reach. So I did miss it the first time. And then the second time you just grab it and then you clamp it on. To me, this is going to sound really weird. The scariest part about it was the lift up, because your harness is essentially being lifted up by this massive gondola, and you know, your body is not part of the harness. You're connected to the harness. So the harness itself is what's really being lifted up.
Pulling you up.
And I kept wondering, oh, my God, what if this thing breaks?
Exactly. How is that harness connected to you? Is it over your shoulders and under your legs?
It you step into it like a pair of pants, and then there's these two little clips that you have to connect it to. And like that, to me, that was the weird part, because essentially it's kind of really – you're on your own the whole time, essentially. Even the jump, like, nobody's going with you. There was a couple people that I heard about that got to that ledge and just said screw it, and then just kind of didn't do it.
There's
even though
no
they went
way
all
I would
the way
do
out
it.
There.
So this is part of a junket for Jumanji. Is there some sort of bungee jump in Jumanji? Like, does The Rock or Kevin Hart, like, do they do this? Like, what's the rationale behind, hey, let's send the movie guys on a bungee jump adventure?
Well, it's interesting. Like, The Rock Johnson is so adamant about making press experiences interesting. He's what I do for a living is so inside baseball, and like, people don't really know exactly like the idea of what a press junket is. And essentially, normally these things are done in hotel rooms, and you fly to LA or New York and you see the movie, and then you go to a room for 4 minutes and you talk to the actor and then you roll out. The Rock is kind of in a mindset of like a Tom Cruise, where he wants like the press adventure of it to be like aspects that kind of tie to the movie. So for each of the like first Jumanji film, they put us they took us to Hawaii where we like rode like ATVs in Kualoa Ranch where they shot the first Jurassic Park. This one is called Jumanji, the next level. So they were like, what can we do to take this thing literally to the next level? So why don't we go to Cabo and throw journalists off of bungee cords? To be fair, you had the decision. You did not have to do it, obviously. They gave you other options of like ATVs and zip lining and things like that. I just chose the bungee cording. But to answer your question, it's just more about the tie into the movie about Jumanji being more dangerous this time around.
All right, so there's three movies that you're going to review. The Mr. Rogers movie, which is called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks. You've got 21 Bridges with Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And then Frozen 2. Why don't you start with Frozen 2, and then we'll get to the other ones.
Yeah, that's obviously the big one this week. I mean, that's going to make so much money. And the first Frozen, obviously, was a huge success. I don't think anybody knew that movie was going to make over $1 billion. I'll be honest with you. I don't love the first Frozen. I love the music. I love, the songs were great and the characters were great. I felt the same way about the new one. That being said, I saw it with like a gigantic, massive Frozen fan who thought it was better than the first one. And she also thought that the songs were incredible. And she said she would give it 1,000 out of 5. And I only bring her up because that to me was like, that is the example of someone who is going to see this movie and love it. You know what I mean? So as a critic and as a viewer of Frozen 1 and Frozen 2, I think both of them have incredibly well-written songs, incredibly well-written characters. I think the songs in this one are definitely going to be very catchy. One's called Into the Unknown. The other one's called Show Yourself. Those are the kind of the Let It Goes and the do you want to build a snowman of these. And so I think the movie is going to work for super fans. I just think the storytelling in both films are a little convoluted and in my opinion, not as good as the music. So I gave this one 3 out of 5. I think I gave the first one like 3.5 out of 5, very similar rating. They're not bad movies. I actually think Frozen, fans are going to be obsessed with the movie. I thought it was a good, it was great songs, just not great storytelling, in my opinion.
All right, so 21 Bridges. I'm really excited for this movie. I did see it wasn't that well reviewed early on. Let's get the Kevin McCarthy take.
Oh, he does. I can tell already. Doesn't like it.
Well, Case can tell by the sound of my voice. This is a film that like it's frustrating because it's not bad. It's not good. It's just very middle of the road. It's very like 90s police drama. So do you remember the movie 16 Blocks with Bruce Willis and Mos Def? There's something similar to the vibe of kind of what's going on with the storyline. In this movie specifically, essentially Taylor Kitsch and Stephon James's characters are caught up in a pretty bad situation where 8 police officers are killed in a situation, but it looks like specifically they were involved in a murder-esque situation, but there's actually a lot deeper, something deeper going on there. And so Chadwick Boseman's character is essentially like a detective in New York City who shuts down 21 Bridges so these guys can't get out of Manhattan before they catch them. But this is produced by the Russo brothers, the guys who directed like Avengers Endgame and Infinity War and Civil War. It's just the director of this film. They didn't direct this movie. I'm not familiar with the director's work of this particular movie, but I just didn't find it to have a coherent story in the sense of like Chadwick is such a good actor and he just doesn't, when he shines, but when he doesn't, when the script is bad, it just feels like it drags. So I thought it was just a little bit of a weak, almost like a TV movie that you would watch at home and go, that was pretty fun, but it's not something I would go out to the theaters to see, unfortunately. I gave it 2.5 out of 5.
Whoa. Can't go see that.
Can't go see that. All right. Yep. So the Mr. Rogers movie is getting very well received. Tell us about Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Well, this is the best movie of the week, hands down. All right. So a couple warnings to people that if you're going to this movie expecting a Mr. Rogers movie, it's not a Mr. Rogers movie.
That's good.
I know they're, but here's the thing about this. It's strange because the marketing is so heavily Tom Hanks, right? I mean, it's Fred Rogers. So do you guys have at least seen an episode or two of his show, right? Like the earlier shows, right?
Mr. Rogers, of course.
Yeah, we grew up on that.
Of course. All right. All right. So the reason why I bring that up is for a specific reason is the movie is basically a 2-hour episode of the show. So if you remember how the show started, the movie pretends like you're basically watching an episode of Mr. Rogers's Neighborhood, and which I really love that. And I think that's like one of the most brilliant ideas you could have come up with for a story like this, because if you think about it, Fred Rogers didn't make a lot of things about him. He made a lot of things about the people he was telling stories about or cared about. At least that's the way I perceived it. And so Tom Hanks's character opens up the movie as if you're watching an episode and then tells this amazing story about this guy Matthew Reese plays. Matthew Reese is from The Americans. Jason, I think you watched The Americans. He's a really, really good actor. And essentially he's a writer and he's tasked with meeting Mr. Rogers and writing a piece about him. And the movie is all about how Mr. Rogers changes his life. It's a true story. This writer essentially was estranged from his father, did not talk to his father. Chris Cooper plays his father in the film. And it's about building that relationship back up through this story he's telling about Mr. Rogers. And it is incredibly well done. Like, it is such a unique storytelling idea of how they were able to approach this. This is not a biopic about Fred Rogers, but you learn about Fred Rogers through what he's doing by changing Matthew Reese's character. So I love this film. I give it a 4.5 out of 5. I think Matthew Reese is amazing. I think Chris Cooper is amazing. Hanks is a supporting character. Mr. Rogers is not the lead of this movie. So if you're going into this expecting that, you're not going to be getting that. Check out the documentary called Won't You Be My Neighbor. That is a phenomenal Mr. Rogers documentary if you want to learn more about him specifically.
So did you say what rating you gave this one?
Yeah, I gave it a 4.5. 4.5 out of 5.
4.5.
It's pretty solid.
All right. I still don't think I know what the movie's about, but whatever.
Well, that's because you weren't listening. I literally just said the entire plot for 45 seconds.
I don't quite understand it.
You heard the plot, right?
I did hear it, yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Eric, essentially, it's about a writer who does a story about Mr. Rogers and how Mr. Rogers changes his life. It's a 2-hour episode of the show, essentially. It's very well done.
And by the way, actor is British.
Matthew Reese, is he British? Yeah, you're right. I guess he is British.
What does that matter?
He's married to Carrie Russell
from The
Americans. Because
it's just amazing to me anytime that, like, you see these guys who use it in a movie, a perfect American accent, and then all of a sudden you hear them talk.
Right.
And they're Brit.
They're butt British.
That's impressive to me. That's Oscar worthy to me.
That happened to me on Get Out. I remember seeing Get Out for the first time, and Daniel Kaluuya, the lead star of that film, who plays Chris, I had never heard of him before. And so I go to this movie, and I was, the interview room that I was focused on was Jordan Peele, because he directed it and wrote it, and Allison Williams was there as well. So I walk into this room, and I had no idea he was British. And he starts talking, and I think I like flipped out. I had like an outer body moment. I was like, "Wait a second, you're British!" I'm a prepared journalist. Like, I go into these interviews prepared. I just didn't know where this guy was from. So, like, if you saw Get Out, his American accent is so damn good.
What about the woman from was it Tubman or Harriet, whatever they call the movie? Is it she British?
Cynthia Erivo.
She's British too, right?
Yeah, she's British, man. She's an amazing singer.
Get Out. Is he in that? Movie coming out, Queen and Slim?
Dude, oh my God, I'm so happy you brought that up. That opens up next Wednesday. That is one of my favorite movies of the year. It's essentially like an updated modern-day Bonnie and Clyde. And the story is so insane. Essentially, like, they go on this date. Daniel Kaluuya's character meets this girl via Tinder, and she's a lawyer. And the actress who plays the girl he goes on a date with, her name is Jodie Turner-Smith. She's a new actress. Now, she apparently is either dating seriously or married to Pacey from Dawson's Creek, Joshua Jackson. I didn't know that the other day.
It means nothing to us. It means nothing to us.
What
buddy.
Are you talking about? Really good.
All right, Kevin, they're giving us a break sign.
It's a movie trivia. Okay, anyways. Queen Slim's amazing. See it. She's amazing in it. He's amazing in it. Daniel Kaluuya, amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
Love you guys.
Hope you had fun in Cabo.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
21 Bridges crushed it.
You got to pivot.
21 Bridges look like the town.
Go see Ford versus Ferrari. It's getting crazy good reviews.
I'm not a car guy. I'm not interested in
that. I might be sized for that one.
It's a story.
It's not a car movie.
I mean, there's cars featured, but you know what it is? It's a Damon and Bale movie.
Ford versus Ferrari. It's not a car movie.
It's the cars aren't the stars. It's not Fast and Furious. It actually has real story.
All right, got to take a break. 800-636-1067. If you want to chime in, we're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Sports. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on a Football Friday brought to you by our friends at Hollywood Casino in Charlestown. Every bet, every game for real sports fans. Are there any games on tonight? Anything silly tonight to watch while we are at the Palm or bowling? By the way, EB,
we're not watching TV at the Palm. We're having conversations.
It's on in the background, Ricky. We're going to go to the bar.
By the way, where's the after party? Since you guys keep extending this thing out,
we're doing the Palm at 7.
And then we're doing bowling. Where's the after party? Has that been planned yet?
That's in my bed.
Hopefully it's at home.
Yeah, it's definitely at home.
The Terps play Mason. That's on Big Ten Network at 7. But see, we're not going to be able to watch that. You're going to be in the dining room.
I'm just figuring for the bar, like the
bar area. We're going to be there 5-ish.
At a bowling alley, they're generally big screen TVs all over the place.
There'll be some terrible.
Unless it's a really nubs bowling alley.
There'll be some game you don't care about. The game I'll care about will be the Wiz Charlotte game.
Mm-hmm.
That's at 7.
So many. What's the over-under on that game? Because neither of those teams know how to play defense or care to play defense.
And
that's got to be high.
The Terps also played 7. So nice. Those are the only two games I care about.
Saw a little of Georgetown last night. They were playing Texas,
right?
Who's had entered the game ranked 22.
Yep.
So nice win for the Hoyas. They play Duke tonight, I believe.
Definitely a nice win for them.
EB does have his bowling bag.
Why are Drabby and Valdez like smiling and looking at cakes?
Who knows?
Because you guys have planted some seeds.
I know exactly.
You want cakes
why.
To bring up something?
Because the music that we came back with was bowling for soup. So because we're bowling tonight.
Hold on, is that the name
laughing.
Of the band or the
yes.
song?
Yes, bowling
band.
For soup.
There's a band called Bowling for Soup.
Yeah. Ricky, I saw them at Warped Tour this past summer on the beach in Atlantic City.
All right, how did you even know there was a band called Bowling for Soup?
Because they have like 5 smash hits.
Oh. I haven't heard of them.
So EB brought in my dad's bag.
Yeah.
So I was saying this.
I don't know how I got that bag from
your
dad.
We were born in 1970. Okay?
Yeah.
That's when we were born. My dad was on a bowling team at some point, but it wasn't like when I was older. So it's minimum from the 70s. This could be from the 60s or 50s.
Man, I'm going to guess that's a 50-year-old
bag. I really hope that your own personal ball bag isn't that tattered.
Better shape?
Yeah.
I hope it is. You want to me to show you?
No, I'll take your word for it.
What we found funny, you know, EB has big hands.
Yeah.
And so his
I had to get the holes drilled appropriately.
His bowling ball was customized.
Yeah.
And, Brunswick
show that to Dougie so Dougie can get a good shot for NBC.
Okay, so
I think Andre the Giant is that ball.
It says Bic right there.
Well, this is a proper
Bic.
So here's the scoop. I took a bowling class, and I learned.
Midgets?
Well, you know.
Seriously, the level of disrespect.
So I went and got a ball.
A solid five.
I think it was like when Sports Authority just opened.
Sports Authority.
Like in God, what year must that have been? Like 1991 or something.
Radio Insider.
And I just got, I think I bought the ball for $20.
I
they drilled the holes
Brunswick
in there.
Cyclone. You got it customized.
Yeah.
He's got Bic right here.
Well, they put your initials in there.
Yeah.
So I got my ball made.
Everybody used to call you Bic until we started doing the TV show.
Right.
And somehow, and then the radio
show. That ball's got to be warped by now. It's so
there's nothing wrong with the ball. Somebody was joning on the ball, though, acting like it's not good anymore.
No,
do the balls go bad?
No, the ball's fine. The ball's fine.
How do you know the ball's fine?
Yeah, you don't know anything.
Nothing.
I mean, it's round.
He's not.
You didn't know anything.
He's not
but like,
some,
you know how like
PBA
drivers go bad
yeah.
or
that's golf, such old technology.
By the way, is that legal? Because I don't think you're allowed to use that if it's an illegal ball.
Why would it be illegal?
I don't know. Like golf balls are illegal nowadays
it's
and stuff like
there's
that.
Nothing, there's it's, no trick to it.
If he had a 20-pound ball, I think. Whatever the.
I need it to get polished. I need someone to polish my ball.
But I wanted to get to the point. The point is, because EB has big hands, his fingers are spread out really far.
Sure.
So, I can pick it up. It's fine, but it's not that comfortable. I'll get one that's closer. But Adam came in here.
Adam's little tiny little hands.
He has dainty tiny hands.
He can barely pick the ball up.
Got Trump hands.
You know, that doesn't bode well for you at all, my friend. Do you want to show everybody how you can barely get your hands in there?
Yeah, I think we need to see.
And then he said, because he's the one guy who's bowled somewhat recently. He said he went to his sister's party or something last week. He bowls with a 10-pound.
That's like what the little kids use.
So for my...
Can you bowl with a comb already? Good Lord, look at that hair.
My first roll, my first frame, I use the 10 because I hook it and I try to get 8 or 9 pins. In the second frame, I use the 12 and kind of go straighter.
Right. So you have
I
a theory.
Like extra large holes, but very close together. This is so... I can't even lift it.
Don't drop my silly ball.
I'm close to dropping it.
Don't drop his warped ball.
It's insane.
Yeah. You got little tiny little hands. You got little baby
hands. If I
put
my two fingers in, my thumb's not even coming close. Not even close.
Hey, by the way, what are all those dirty rags in your bag? It's so trifling.
In this bag?
I have no idea. Yeah, look at this dad's pull them bag. Out.
They've probably never been. They're probably to polish the ball.
Look at that!
Oh, that's a Maryland T-shirt. That's my old T-shirt.
You know what? I might not want to touch that T-shirt.
I don't know what.
God only knows what's
what's on that.
Watch out!
I think the Shroud of Turin is in better shape.
But wait, maybe I put it in there because is the bottom of the bag all bad or something? Maybe I thought I was going to scrape the ball.
The ball.
I think I probably put that T-shirt in there to protect the ball from getting scraped.
The ball bag is so old that the ball might fall through the ball bag.
I mean, look at that shirt.
Adam, you won't put that shirt on.
Will you put the shirt on, Adam?
Yes, he will.
Oh, my God. The ball bag. The ball bag's falling apart.
That is my old Maryland T-shirt.
Oh, my God. You can only imagine what's happened to that T-shirt.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it.
Put it on.
What does it smell like?
I might throw up.
Oh, my God. It's kind of silly.
It's so great.
That is such a dirty shirt.
Oh, it's the dirtiest.
And that was a white shirt at one point.
What does it smell like?
I'm sure I put that in there to not scrape the ball because the bag is so tattered.
Or you had to hide something from Dina. You know what I mean?
No. I didn't put
the bag does have a little spot, though, for the ball, like perfectly.
But what is the brown?
It's been in there for 30 years.
Oh. Take it off. It's so disgusting.
It's so crusty. Like,
it's disgusting.
You're probably going to get cancer from putting that shirt on.
Yeah, take it off. Watch out. The ball's going to fall. Put the bowling ball back in the bag. I need a new bag. So that's what you guys can get me for Kris Kringle.
You're not going to find one for
$25 bowling ball
bag? I bet you could on Amazon.
That's true.
For $20. I need a new bowling bag. And I need to know, is the ball not as effective now. Maybe it won't like hold the lane like it used to. It yeah, like loses.
That's going
to
be the excuse.
I'll call ahead and make sure they put some fresh wax or whatever on the lane.
Well, yeah. No, but maybe oil, my ball, I might need them to polish it or whatever to so it could get its grip. It might not have any grip. I don't know anything about balls. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, you can get a ball bag for $20 on Amazon.
See? $20.
There you go.
Oh, you can get one with a little.
You can get one with looks like a piece of luggage.
Yeah, exactly.
You roll that thing
with a handle. Crap.
I just clicked on Brunswick bowling balls.
Yeah,
you can buy one for $158. What do they were that expensive?
That's probably a cheap
one. I feel like
one.
I only spent $20 on mine, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I spent like.
Well, they have
50.
Numbers that are for $43.
Yeah, maybe I spent like $50 then. But bowling balls go bad? That's a question. Hit me up on Twitter if you know. EB Junkies. Do bowling balls go bad, like golf balls or?
It can't have the latest and greatest in technology. I mean, you bought that when you were in college.
It's just a ball, though.
Yeah, what's the technology?
What's the tech involved?
But it probably deteriorates over time, like that nubby T-shirt that was stuck in there.
I'm like itching all over now.
Yeah, of course you are. You probably have spiders crawling on you right now.
Right.
You don't even know it.
Are you all going to be sized to use the ball, or is everybody going to just get their own?
I don't know.
I need my own ball.
If something feels better, yeah. I'll use that.
I don't need one with the finger hole.
The problem is all the balls six they have that are on the rack. Like this. The fingers are like right there, like that. It's gross.
That's the way I like it.
Yeah, for the tiny hands over there, that's what he needs.
Right. Anyway, a lot of anticipation.
Better break 100. Be so embarrassing.
I feel like I definitely couldn't possibly not break 100.
Of course, it's always
a lot of times I don't get my spares. You know, I get 8 or 9, and then even if I just have one in the corner, I take too much of an angle or whatever, and I miss
gutter
short.
Ball.
Right. Gutter ball short.
Yep.
How many times that's happened to me?
Of course. Tough.
It's a hard sport.
I mean, especially when you play once every 15 years.
Yeah. It's a silly sport, though. I get sized. If I could just practice.
You could. Here's the thing. You could.
No, I don't know
if you wanted to.
How?
What do you mean, how?
You go
to a lane and roll a bunch of balls.
Yeah, this is like a waste of money.
You get a bowling coach. I don't know. You look at videos on YouTube.
You go to the alley.
Yeah.
Take your kids to the alley. It's a good family event.
Yeah, no, I do. I'll take my kids bowling every few years. No, but I want to practice on my own. Oh. I just want to practice like you go to the driving range.
Right.
Just want to go to the bowling alley. Just work on my game.
Yeah, you got to find a rich friend like Jason Bishop who has a bowling alley in their house.
Right. I'd be sized for
ask
one.
Ask Jason how to find
rich I actually
friends.
Tried He's to walk it off and see if I could put one down in my basement. But
right.
I don't, it's
not enough room.
It's not long enough.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we will get back to the NFL. Will Brinson covers the NFL for CBS, joins us next here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.